Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the World Series of Politics podcast, where two heavy hitters in the political, legislative, and regulatory space take swings at the curveballs thrown at the gaming sector by legislators and regulators around the world for IGB. We've got Brendan Bussman and Grant Iden stepping up to the plate to discuss the hot topics in this space from across the world. Let's play ball on another episode of the World Series of Politics.
Welcome back to the World Series of Politics podcast. I'm your host, Brant Iden, along with Brendan Bussman. And, you know, we apologize in advance. We are trying to host and produce our own show today.
We don't do these things really well.
Our producer has abandoned us. We don't know where he is, but we are doing this on our own today. So we apologize to our listeners. And I hear we have some new listeners out there as
well.
We do.
Welcome to the show. We appreciate the new audience along the way, and I will also apologize up front because on our last episode I promised a Macau introduction. I ran out of time in Macau. I had the most perfect location set. It had all of Cotai in the background, and then my schedule went haywire, and I never was able to record it. So the next one will happen when I'm in the UAE. I haven't figured out where I'll do it. Anywhere between Abu Dhabi and Ras Al Khaimah. Might be in Dubai. We'll figure that out along the way, but that'll be later this month. So,
well, here's what I do know. You will be on the road traveling, and at some point in time, you will do an intro for us.
Yes. It will not be in the biggest hole you were able to find for us off of it, but it'll get there. So,
That's a good point.
Well,
speaking of big holes, what a segue.
I know.
Look, I don't know. We're doing this show on the fly because I think even without our producer, Brendan Eisen, we've got to do this show. And I think this equates to our good friend, Mr. Portnoy, has coined the term emergency press conference. This is an emergency press conference for the gaming industry. So stealing from our friend, Mr. Portnoy. Look, I mean, my opinion on Illinois, that's what we're talking about here. Terrible. I mean, this is horrendous. What an awful weekend in Illinois. I mean, that's my opinion. Brendan, yours?
Awful is not a word I would use. I think the FCC would shut us down if I were to use the words I'd like to use accordingly. As I semi-jokingly said to you on Saturday as we were going back and forth on this, I really think you got to cancel your Hyatt Rewards program. You know, I really think you do. And I say that with all due respect when I say this, because I was having this conversation yesterday with one of several analysts that called me and said, what's the impact off of this? How do we need to look at the market? All of those types of things. And I said, you know, there's a reason why someone ended up in government and isn't running hotels anymore, because if he ran the state like he ran his hotels, he never would have sat there and put a surcharge on like what happened in the darkness of night, which I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, what would you say?
Well, yeah. So let's just take a quick step back for our listeners just to quickly get you caught up. What happened in Illinois? I know Brendan and I jumped right in, but what happened in Illinois is there's now a per wager surcharge ranging from 25 cents up to 50 cents once a certain amount is collected by operators on every wager that's placed in the state of Illinois. This is the first state to ever do anything like this. This is what, you know, I think some have coined kind of like a digital turnstile tax. You think about it as going through a toll booth, as I did many times driving from Michigan into Illinois on that I-70 toll road. Look, I mean, I'm used to it, right? I mean, so I guess when you go into Illinois, you just pay more. That's just the way it goes these days. Look, this is a terrible precedent. This makes no sense for the industry. This is a state that has once again, 12 months after enacting some of the highest tax rates in the country on the industry, has turned around and said, we don't support technological innovation. We don't support technology companies. And I want to make this very clear. The taxes that were imposed weren't just for the gaming industry from the state. These were on like programs like Uber Eats and VRBO. All these digital businesses that operate in what I would call the new technological space and the advancements that we all make and this is what we use now. And we're being charged more for that, for just the simplicity of having access to be able to do things here on our phone. It makes no sense. And I think that the state is going to quickly realize, I think, that this is probably not a sustainable model in the long term that makes sense. And I certainly do worry about other states thinking that this is a good idea, because this just stifles the industry at just as it's beginning to try to mature in some of these markets. Illinois is a bad state for this now. I mean, it's a
Well,
bad state. I don't know what else to say.
and I don't know how else to describe it either, other than to say I don't expect anything less from a state that has been a problem from the beginning. And I say that if you look historically over course of time, when it comes to gaming, Illinois's never done it right. You look at a Chicago mess that still exists, that who knows if we'll ever see that facility built, fully undervaluing the opportunity of that because of high taxes. Along the way, I mean, I remember on the Chicago City license, I went through three clients, Brent. All three said the same thing. It wasn't because of anything, but they all said, we just can't make the math work. You know, we just couldn't do it. And eventually that's going to come into this space. And whether it's anybody in the online gaming space today and brick and mortar, when I say that, because it's collective, or the DoorDashes and Ubers of the world, Illinois is just not a friendly space to go do business, plain and simple. You know, and I sit there, I listen to the debate, not just on the revenue bill, if you want to call it that. It's a tax, I don't, you know, tax is a tax, regardless how you look at it, but also into the spending bill. I mean, every state has yet to figure out what their full nut is heading into 2026. And I say that saying there are cuts coming from the feds. Anybody that thinks differently, I don't know what you've been listening to for the last few months. But these guys not just said, hey, let's figure out what we need to do to protect ourselves down the way. They didn't even do that. They just said, we're going to go spend more and we need more revenue to do it. And I just think back to my where we started and jumped into this. If I ran my business the way the state of Illinois is being run, I wouldn't be in business. Plain and simple.
Well, let me ask you a question off that. And I know, you know, this is the World Series of Politics. And so I got to talk politics a little bit separate from the gaming, which is you've got a governor that has made it very clear he's running for president. How do you think this factors into that decision-making paradigm? Obviously, every decision going forward that anyone running for president next is going to is governor-wise, or anyone who's an elected official today running for president, is going to sit there and start to weigh these political dynamics. And you have to imagine the governor weighed this politically and decided that this wasn't a liability, right? Or am I wrong?
I think he probably didn't think it was a liability. I mean, I look at it as I look at the 10-year across the way as a liability, and that's just because, as we all know, I'm a low tax to no tax guy. And as you continually ratchet it up and ratchet it up, you don't have a policy other than we're going to spend more. And you know, regardless of what anybody said, there's a limit on which you can do that it doesn't have significant impact economically. And I know we've talked about that, both of our backgrounds having economics in there, as well as the political side of this. But I think he just thinks, hey, at a minimum, it's 3 years off. It won't matter. And I can position myself as I need to in New Hampshire and Iowa and South Carolina and Nevada and start being the presidential candidate as you know, the race for 2028 ensues. But, you know, at some point, something's got to give here. Along the way, that he starts making much more prudent decisions that'll be accepted nationally, because that isn't going to play well in an Iowa. And I don't think it plays well in a New Hampshire along the way either.
Well, and I would imagine, not being from there, but it certainly isn't going to play well in Nevada, where obviously the majority of folks are employed by the gaming industry, and you've got a governor who's attacked the gaming industry time and time again, and he's coming to Nevada and asking for support and saying, I'm going to support, I don't know. I mean,
Absolutely.
how do you square that circle?
No, well, and that's the problem is you really don't. And you know, gaming does rule the roost here. You know, it is our largest industry with all the other industries associated and hospitality and et cetera. That isn't going to play well here. You know, it just plain and simply isn't. And if anybody does, you know, I'd have to sit there and obviously this is for, you know, what comes in the next couple years. You know, hey guys, you may like some guys for some of the things they do and other things, whether that be, you know, on social or economic issues accordingly. But the fact of the matter is, it's not been good to this industry across the way, and Illinois as a whole has not been accordingly.
That's interesting. That's interesting. I remember, I'm thinking back as you're talking about Illinois having a precedent for just sort of bad at gaming in general. And I was at, and I, you know, I, you could ask me 10 times, I still wouldn't know. So I don't just say this. I was at an NCSL conference and I was speaking, talking about the Michigan gaming bill. And at the time, Illinois had passed their bill, but Michigan had not passed yet. And so Illinois was maybe even up and running with sports betting, or they were going out for licensure, or IGB going through the process. Something I don't really remember. I was still in the legislature at the time. And I remember in the audience was an Illinois lawmaker. And I proceeded to just, I was up there rattling off about how bad I thought the Illinois bill was as I was talking about the Michigan bill. And Q&A comes up, and this lawmaker stands up, and I swear I have no idea. I don't even know. This person could still be in the legislature. Perhaps this individual listens to the podcast. I don't know. I'm just telling the story. Forgive me. But this gentleman stands up and he says, "Well, you got a lot to talk about. At least we passed a bill in Illinois. You haven't done anything in Michigan." And I just kind of looked at him and I said, "Well, that's because I never passed a bill that bad." And then that was it. And now here I am today laughing about they made it worse. I don't know how they took a really bad bill and made it worse, but they managed to make it incredibly worse since the time it passed. Not even, I don't know, what was that, 2017, 2018, maybe they passed.
I
I
believe it was
passed in
eight.
19, so it had to be right?
I believe it was, if I recall, I believe it was 18, and you still don't have everything in place. Chicago being one of those licenses. We'll also go back to all the stadium stuff that was part of that on the sports betting side. They passed a horrible bill. And as you well know, long thought process on this. Hey guys, you just shouldn't pass a bill. To pass a bill, you need to do it right. And sometimes if it takes longer to bake, it's the better option. You know,
I
we've
get
talked
it.
about
I
that.
get
We're
it.
going to talk about it as we get into Ohio here and other things, but you just can't pass it to say you did it. You got to make sure it makes sense. And even off the original bill, back to Chicago, they had to go back and amend that the following year because guess what? Everybody came in off the RFI and said, sorry, guys, can't make it work. Too high of a tax rate. You're going to get $250 million worth of investment versus the billions you want. And guess what? They're still not going to get the billions they want because the taxes are still too damn high.
You got it. And yet the Bears stole our offensive line coach from the Lions. And you know, there you go. Good luck, Bears, this season. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Let's talk about something else.
Got
Enough with the
it.
negativity. All right,
Oh,
let's go.
enough, enough.
So we're moving on. We're moving on to the state to the south. My friends in Ohio are in the process of trying to get an iCasino bill passed. This kind of came together at the last minute. Again, from what I can tell, there's been some, does it doesn't necessarily fill a budget hole, but Ohio is considering a reduction in the income tax. I believe they're trying to take it down to 2.75 or 2.25. I can't remember the number off the top of my head. It's right in there. This should be a flat income tax reduction for all citizens of the state of Ohio. This has got a lot of support in the legislature. The plan, from what I can tell, would be to take iCasino revenue and offset the income tax losses from the reduction. It's obviously getting a lot of traction. It's being talked about in the House, being talked about in the Senate. Governor's obviously come out and been a little lukewarm, as we would imagine he would be on the issue. You know, where do you think this goes? 4 weeks left of session. Where do you think it's at?
You know, it's interesting, and I'll use the pun, and everybody knows I'm not an Ohio State fan, but is this to dot the I with iGaming? Sorry, bad
Get it.
joke.
I get it. Done
You know,
it.
I'm much for the real Ohio University and the years when the coach was there. But you know, I think there's a genuine desire in the legislature to look at different revenue sources on this, what I'll label as a tax shift. And a lot of states are doing this. You know, back to Illinois. One of the things you're in the debate with, what are we doing for property tax relief? They aren't doing anything for property tax relief there, just like they're trying to help income tax and move it and shift the tax burden accordingly. You know, I think in the end, I think there's probably a desire to hit the legislature and get this done. The problem is you got to have that veto-proof majority, and I don't see that happening because, you know, I appreciate your kind words on the governor there on his lukewarm response, but I don't think the language I saw in the interview over the weekend was really lukewarm, but a hey, I'll see it when I see it. But the answer is probably no. And it goes back to when sports betting passed. I know all you guys looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, hey guys, DeWine wants to veto this, but he knows it'll be overridden. So he's not going to take the L, but he's not a fan of sports betting. You've had a governor that's proven he's not a fan of sports betting many times again with the tax increases he's proposed off of it. Obviously different side of the aisle than what Pritzker has in Illinois, but does this get across the finish line? There's a lot of hurdles to get through. I don't see it right now. I know you were there testifying recently in the last Senate hearing. We'll see, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, as you say, I was there in the House Senate hearing last week. I agree with you. I think there's a long way to go. I also agree with you that the governor, he's very principled on gaming issues. I mean, I agree to disagree with the governor where he's at on but he's been very clear about gaming issues and that's where he just is. So I'm probably with you at the end of the day. This is probably said the governor does have line item veto ability in the state. This is something he probably looks at. Again, it all depends on how the legislature structures the funding and what this could potentially go to backfill or create and how the governor views that. Lame duck governor headed out. Maybe he cares, maybe he doesn't. Don't know. A lot to say, a lot to see how that plays out. Now, the bill itself, as I testified to, I've got a little bit of concerns about. I mean,
There's
I
a
think that
problem.
this sets
Used to
some
be no
bad
problem.
precedents for the industry. You've got incredibly high, the highest licensing fees in the country being proposed, which are just astronomical for smaller operators trying to get started in this industry. I think you've got very high tax rates considering where Michigan is at on the bill and sort of what's being proposed. I think it's high. I think there should be more market access opportunities. These are all the things that I've talked about, with lawmakers. And I do think what I was really appreciative about, and I want to give a special shout out to many of the members who were in the committee hearings. They are doing a great job with their due diligence on this. I mean, I've spoken to these chairmen, I've spoken to these members. And they're giving this a serious look. And we owe them, a lot of thanks for saying, look, it's easy for me to get up there and nitpick and pick these bills apart. It's easy to do that for like, get up, I work across these across the country.
What we
I can
do.
get up, and we do. And I can get up there and say, and they hate it when I say, hey, I'm from Michigan and I'm here to help. Last thing that they want to hear in
Last
Ohio.
state they ever want to hear that in.
No, but look, they've done a good job at trying to be diligent about this. I think more changes are coming. 4 weeks. I mean, if this thing goes somewhere, I anticipate changes. 4 weeks to go in the legislative process. And look, this could be a huge win. I certainly did not have Ohio on my bingo card this year.
No, I did not have Ohio on my bingo card either, as we discussed earlier, and I was thinking about that leading into today. But it's one of those that the bill's not great. I would argue it needs better working over everything, and it needs to be taken care of in a much more meaningful way. We'll see if we get there. I just don't see it happening quite yet, but hopefully that leads into next year. I have no problem with the governor being a true believer. One of my former bosses, Coach Osborne, he and I adamantly disagree on gaming
You
issues.
certainly do. You certainly disagree.
And every year we're in Nebraska, I see Tom in the hallway. We have our pleasantries beforehand, and we go about it in a very meaningful way, and we just agree to disagree over everything. And so it's one of those things that it is what it is, and we'll get there. But I think this may be a couple years in the making.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, you brought it up. We've got just a couple minutes left before we wrap the show up. Any final words or thoughts on Nebraska? I know, that's a home for you. There's been a lot going on there. Where are we at? Anything you want to add to the conversation on Nebraska?
The only thing I'll add is I think this probably goes to ballot, even though I don't think it needs to. And I say that saying if I was drafting a ballot initiative today, I'd draft a statutory amendment, not a constitutional amendment, because I continue to argue that, when you have all games of chance that was legalized in 2020, you have the ability to do that as long as that wager comes in through a licensed racetrack enclosure. Secondarily, you can do this through the lottery by changing 20 words today. So there's a pathway to Nebraska. I'm still waiting for the governor to come up with his plan. He promised us last January that he'd have in place. Actually, he promised us last August that he'd have in January. But we'll see if they get there. Nebraska's adjourning sine die today. They're going to wrap it up, but everything's still alive heading into January next year. We'll see what gets done in a 60-day session.
You know what? And for the listeners that know us well and listen to our show, all of you know that Brendan is always sort of like a strict constitutionalist when it comes to this gaming stuff. And he and I always bicker about do we need to use the Constitution? Do we not? And so to get him to say that, I don't think, quote, I don't think we need to go through the Constitution in the ballot process, This is a big for those of you paying attention, this is a big day, very big day. So listen to
Yes.
Brendan, by the way. All right,
Yes.
ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you for joining us on another episode of the World Series of Politics podcast with your host, Brad Eyden and Brendan Busmans.
See you again soon.
You've been listening to the World Series of Politics podcast with Brendan Busman and Brent Eyden. We'll be back at the starting line very soon. This has been an IGB production. For the latest news, views, analysis, and data on the global gaming industry, head to igamingbusiness.com.